Psalms are always a great place to go. I have a pastor friend of mine that he always goes to the books of history to find out what God is doing. And I like to go to the Psalms when I'm excited. I like to go to Psalms when I'm depressed or stressed. I like the Psalms. The Psalms are they're good to me. And this morning I hope to share some things with you out of this 34th Psalm. Notice it's got a little title, which we'll come back to in just a minute, but it says a Psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech and who drove him away, and he departed. Part of this message this morning is going to be, who are you? I mean, who are you? We can't feign who we are. We can't fake who we are. We have to be who we are, and if you're here this morning and you're saved, you're a Christian. Well, that means we can't fake who we are. We can't fake what we're supposed to do. We can't fake what we're supposed to be. Verse number 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. I'll say amen. You have fears? You know me, I had fears for days thinking of going through that pass, pulling that heavy truck. How am I going to get through that? You're having nightmares, you know, thinking the truck's going to slide off into the... God delivered me from all my fears. They looked on, verse number 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him and delivered them. Oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse number 9, Oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Verse 11, Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, I ask you to help this morning. I pray that you'd have your hand upon the service. I pray that you'd guide me and direct me. Pray you'd give me clarity of mind and thought. I pray that you would speak to the people. And Lord, it wouldn't be me, but it would be you. And Lord, that you'd be able to give them exactly what they need for this coming week, that you'd be able to minister to their spirit. Lord, I know that I can't do it, but I know that you can, and you can do it through me. Lord, I pray that you'd do it through me this morning. I pray that those that are here would have ears to hear. Lord, that they might hear what you have to say to them. Ask these things in your son's precious name, Jesus. Amen. This is a great psalm. You can spend a month in this psalm all by itself. It's the second of an alphabet psalm, right? The Hebrews had alphabet psalms to teach their children the alphabet, kind of like we do, A, B, C, D. It'd be written in that form. It's also a psalm that David wrote when he was being persecuted by his father-in-law. Most of us in here probably have a father-in-law. But none of us have been persecuted by our father-in-law. I hope not. David was. I mean, in here, David's the one that's writing this. David says that the poor man cried out to God and God heard him. He's the son-in-law of the king. How could he be a poor man? Well, he was surely poor when his father-in-law was pursuing him. Keep your finger here and turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 21 for just a second so you can get some context to understand why David penned this. 1 Samuel chapter 21. David's already on the run from his father-in-law, King Saul. King Saul has been given an evil spirit by God, and King Saul wants to kill David. King Saul is jealous of David. And yet, look at what David does here in a moment in the situation. Verse number 10, 1 Samuel 21, 10. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and he went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? That's why Saul was bent out of shape at David. That's why Saul was jealous of David. the people were ascribing great things to David, and boy, Saul just couldn't take it. David, verse 12, David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the door of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. He feigned himself to be a madman. This is the man that when he was a boy, he went out and slain the giant. He knew that God was on him and knew that God was helping him. When he was taking care of his dad's sheep, he'd slain a bear and he'd slain a lion. He knew that God was with him. He wrote songs and hymns to God. And yet here in a moment, he fakes who he is. He doesn't trust in God. He tries to trust in himself and tries to be something that he's not. And then the king recognizes that and sends him on his way. And then we get this psalm. David writes this psalm after he recognizes his mistake. And back in Psalm 34, verse number 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Can you bless the Lord at all times? I didn't bless the Lord at all times, and I make the wrong turn. Got to take the car off and the trailer off, and no, that takes a long time to get turned around. You lose all that time. You know what you learn to say? You learn to say, praise the Lord. We're in the Philippines, traveling, we were coming back from Pagadian City, heavy Muslim country, Muslim territory, traveling at night in a motorcycle and a sidecar. We run out of gas. We eventually get home. The next day, we get a flat tire. Woo! I was praising the Lord, we got a flat tire. The national pastor's like, Pastor, why are you praising the Lord? I said, I'd much rather have a flat tire in the daytime where we are today than last night. But can we continually, bless the Lord at all times? Can we praise continually be in our mouth? Can we continually praise God? See, that's what's wrong. That's what David wasn't doing. David had already met with the priest. David had already been given some showbread that he shouldn't have probably ate, but the priest said he was okay to eat. He's got that. Now he's got some armament. God had been providing. But yet in this moment, he tries to feign to be mad so that he can get the world to protect him. We ought not to do that. We ought to look to God. We ought to understand what God is doing. We ought to have a firm resolution that, boy, I'm going to praise God no matter what. I'm going to praise God that, boy, the dog locked the keys in the truck while it's running. Lord sent a really nice man in the place we're at. He said, oh, it happens every day. Every day somebody locks their keys in the car right here. Every day. He drove by and seen it, he backed up and he come over and he got on the phone and he tried to help. But I still have to bless the Lord. You have to bless the Lord. Some of you are going to have to bless the Lord no matter what's going to come your way. I mean, we're praying that the MRI is going to be good. And we hope that it is. But we have to be able to bless the Lord continually at all times. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 for just a second. You might as well keep your place in Psalm 34 because we'll be back there. It's one of my favorite chapters. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hopefully it becomes one of your favorite chapters. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Second smallest verse in all the Bible. It's actually got more syllables than John 11, 35, Jesus wept. But it's only got two words, rejoice evermore. Can we rejoice evermore? I hope that you can rejoice evermore. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. We have to be able to pray without ceasing. That means that we need to pray all the time. I pray when I drive the car. I don't shut my eyes, obviously. That would be foolish. But God wants us to, what? Pray without ceasing. Always have a right attitude. Always have a right walk with God. Always be in that place that we can, what? That we can pray without ceasing. He tells us in verse 18, he says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Can we give thanks in everything? I think that we can. A flat tire, a locked cab with the dog in it, a wrong turn. David here, he learned his lesson. Boy, he faked who he was. He didn't trust in God. He didn't trust the fact that God had allowed him to slip out of the house and his wife helped him. He wasn't praising God. He needs to be able to get to that place. You need to be able to get to that place. You know what? Our commitment, our desire to what? Continually praise God at all times has to be thorough. That means we have to do it all the time. It's easy to do it when the sun is shining. It's easy to do when everything is good. But I'm just telling you, when it's bad and when it's rough, boy, we have to continue. So not only do we have to be thorough, but we have to be constant. That's pray without ceasing. That's having the right attitude. That's having the right walk with God. That's being able to continue and continue with Him. Verse 2, he says, my soul, Psalm 34, verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. David had to learn a position of humility. I think sometimes God wants us to learn a position of humility. I did. I mean, I took the wrong turn. Maybe I shouldn't have taken the turn, but I had to be humble. You can't yell at somebody. Who are you going to yell at? How's that going to help the situation? We got to take the car off. We got to take the trail. How's that going to help the situation to lose control? Humble. Hey, we made a mistake. Hey, I shouldn't have shut the door. I should have rolled the window down. I should have, could have. Humble. That's having this walk with God, being constant. Why? Because I'm going to exalt Him. Because He's the one that's going to provide. He's the one that's going to minister. He's the one that's going to be able to get me through. I can't get through myself. Boy, but God is going to have to help me. Right? We're going to have to exalt His name. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me. And now what we're doing today, aren't we magnifying what God has done? He brought us here safely. He helped me make the probably the hardest decision I had to make, to choose to come here. It was a hard decision. It's a big decision. Move your family 1,200 miles across country, across a mountain range. I mean, some people are like, you're crazy. Why would you do that? You're crazy. Well, I'm going to magnify God. He's calling me. He's provided an opportunity. My mentor said, well, God's not going to let you fail. He said He might let you make some mistakes, and He might have to teach you, but He's not going to let you fail. Boy, see, the other part is it has to be social. We all have to take our part in this, in praising God. It can't just be the pastor, can't just be the deacon, can't just be the pulpit committee, the trustees, the officers of the church. We all have to what? We all have to magnify God. That's why we all have to what? Continually praise Him at all times. I'll magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Well, that's a great verse for a marriage proposal. It is. It's a great verse for a wedding vow. Many of us are already married. Some of you might not be. But see, when we magnify God, it has to be what? Unselfish. Because I'm magnifying Him. I'm not magnifying me. I didn't get me through there. God got me through there. God's the one that parted the weather. God's the one that made the nice tailwind on Friday. God is the one that was able to what? Help my wife drive through the pass. Help my son drive through the past. But today, you know what we're doing? We're praising God. We're going to magnify God. Isn't that what He called us to do? Magnify Him? And by magnifying, boy, we're trying to include everybody socially. Unselfishly do we exalt Him. Because it's all about Him. It's not about me. He's done great many works. I mean, He's put this church here. This church has been a lighthouse in the community for a long time. We ought to magnify Him. He says in verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Do you know that it's going to be a lot harder for God to hear us if we don't seek Him? If we don't go to Him in prayer? People wonder why, well, the Lord's not doing anything. Okay, when was the last time that you sought Him? When was the last time that you had an earnest time in prayer? When was the last time that you were doing what God would have you to do? Boy, we're going to have to seek God. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to talk to Him. He heard me. I shared a little bit yesterday with some of the church leadership. about how I made this big decision. And obviously we're not in Gideon, we're not in the book of Judges, and you don't really need a fleece. I mean, God has told us to witness, God has told us to give, God has told us to love. There's a lot of things that we don't need a fleece for. Well, you're making a big decision sometimes, you might need something. You might need extra assurance from God. Hey, are you in this? And I knew I needed something from God, but I didn't know what I needed from God. And I didn't know what I should ask for. And so I was talking to God. And I told him, I said, Lord, I got to apologize. I feel a lot like Nebuchadnezzar in chapter number 2. He has this dream, but he's not telling anybody what the dream is, but he wants them to interpret the dream that he's not going to tell them. I said, look, I need a fleece from you, but I don't know what the fleece is, but I need you to answer my prayer because I need to know that you're in this. And I did that on Thursday. And on a Friday, I asked my wife, because we had an RV, and we were talking about selling it, and I said, hey, did you list that RV? And she says, no, I thought you were joking. I said, no, list that RV. And so she did. And in 15 minutes, it sold for full price by somebody who didn't see it. God answered my prayer. He knew exactly what I needed. See, he heard me, but I was seeking him. And I think from a society, and I think from a church perspective, sometimes that we don't get what we need from God is because we're not seeking him, and he can't hear us. He knows what we need. He knows we need food, we need raiment, we need health, we need our family. He knows all that. And he often provides all that. But what about the extra things that we need? We don't get them because we're not asking him, because we're not seeking him. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And then he delivered me from all my fears. See, God can deliver you from all your fears. What is your fears? Laying on the back, getting ready for the MRI, that's a fear. Going through the past is a fear. Wondering what this outcome is going to be. Politically, is that not a fear? Is God not in control? He's in control. He's going to provide. He's going to care. He hears us. He says in verse number 5, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. How many times are we ashamed in the public talking about the Lord? Sometimes we don't talk to other people that we know because we're ashamed. We don't want them to think, you're a Bible believer. You're a Bible thumper. I've been called every name under the sun. I'm not ashamed. But I know one thing. I know when I have liberty to talk and when I don't have liberty to talk. I'm as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, but I'm not ashamed. That when I was in a truck stop trying to figure out if I've got to go to the DOT or not, the manager, she's there, she's talking like a sailor. So you can just imagine every word that's coming out is four letters, which I would submit that you're not very smart if you can only use four letters and words to talk. And she's saying all these things. Want to know why I'm coming to Colorado? And I said, well, because I'm a pastor and I'm moving there to pastor a church. And she says, of course you are. And look at how I'm talking. Her language changed right after that. I could have been ashamed and not said anything. But we can't be ashamed. I mean, how are you going to be ashamed of the Savior who died for you? How are you going to be ashamed of the God that what provides and answers prayer? Keeps us healthy, provides, gives us health, and satisfies all of our needs. God, their faces were not ashamed. See, right now your face isn't ashamed. We're magnifying God. What's it going to be like here in an hour when you're not in church? When you're at the restaurant or in the store or talking to the neighbor? We can't be ashamed. They don't have to believe like we do. That's fine. That's their prerogative. God give them free will. But he doesn't want us to be ashamed. That's Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of salvation. Why would we be ashamed? So David wasn't ashamed anymore. He was ashamed before when he feigned himself mad and he's got spittle running down his beard. And boy, he's pretending like he had a head wound and they don't want him because he's a madman. Man, he learned a valuable lesson here. Verse 6, the poor man cried. You know what that means? When you cry out to God, that means it's earnest. You're invested in what you're praying for. You just think about it. You got a real need, and you're going to go to God, and you're going to say, well, Lord, I could really use this. Maybe. But I tell you what, if you're praying because you got tests coming back and you want the results to be negative, you're not going to be talking that way. You're going to be crying to God. You're going to be invoking power. Right? It's not a cold request. It's not a calm inquiry. Right? The more you feel the need, the more deeply you're going to what? Invest your prayer. You're going to cry. Lord, I need you to answer this. I'm not perfect. I came home one time. I was if you could get an award for like the worst husband and the worst father, boy, I bet you I got that like 12 years running. I mean, I could get it every year. And we got saved and we're going to church and I'm stubborn and I'm get bitter at people and was mad and I come home and my house is empty. And my wife loaded everything up. She took the kids. She took the furniture. I mean, she took it all. I come home to an empty house. I'm like, well, this is weird. And then this is on a Friday. I'm like, well, when did this happen? I mean, because all the stuff was here this morning when I left for work. It's all gone now. How did this all happen? Then the sheriff comes and I got served papers. I'm like, how does this happen in a day? What's going on? And obviously we were having some marital problems. I'm a bad husband and a bad father. I'll tell you what I did do. I went and talked to my pastor. My pastor asked me a litany of questions. Hey, what are you doing? Are you drinking? Are you doing drugs? I'm like, dude, I'm not doing any of that. I don't understand what happened. I understood what happened. I was reclusive and just became self-absorbed about me and not about her, not about the kids. And I asked my pastor, I said, well, how am I going to fix this? And he said, well, you can't fix it. Only God can fix it. And so that changed my prayer life. I started praying, Lord, make me a better husband, make me a better father. But you know what I started to do? I started to cry out to God because he's the only one that could fix it. Who can fix David's problem here? Only God can fix David's problem. God gave his father-in-law the evil spirit. His father-in-law is chasing him. Only God can. And David's got to what? He's got to cry out to God. He's invested. God, you're going to have to protect me. God, you're going to have to save me. God, you're going to have to deliver me from all my problems. It's the same today. Obviously, our father-in-laws aren't chasing us. But we all have different problems. We all have different situations. But can you cry out to God? It said, and the Lord heard him and saved him. So not only does the Lord hear him and delivered him in verse 3 from all of his fears, now he saved him from all of his troubles. See, fears and troubles are different. We have to recognize the difference. Boy, it was fearful to go through that pass. But he saved me from the fear. It was easy. But can you save us from all of our troubles? He has. He put our marriage back together. But if I wouldn't have been crying out to God, if I wouldn't have been willing to humble myself, if I wouldn't have been able to reach out and talk to God and seek God, it said the poor man. I mean, we're all poor. At the end of the day, we're all poor. He's got everything. We have nothing. He can take our health. He can take our finances. He can take our family. He can take our job. He can take it all. Just read the book of Job. He did that. Job became as poor could be. All he had was his wife and his integrity and his love for the Lord and his desire to keep serving the Lord. David, same situation. All he can do is what? Seek after God. We're going to have to get to that place. Right? And the closer that we are to what? The Savior's side, the easier it is to walk with Him, the easier it is to talk with Him, the easier it is to bring our supplications, our petition, and get our prayers answered. I don't know about you, I want my prayers answered. I don't like it when He says no. I love it when He says, yes, you can have this. Yes, you can do this. But I have come a long ways to understand when He says no. See, prayer is all about seeking Him. Can you seek Him? That's Hebrews 4. We can verse 16, we can boldly come to the throne room of grace. Ah, but if we're full of sin, we can't come boldly. We're not willing to come. That's why God gave us 1 John 1:9. And then when we're there, we have to what? We have to look to God. He heard Him. Look at verse 7, it says, and the angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. See, it's all about fear. The world is in a mess because they don't fear God. My dad's youngest sister lives out in California, and I was texting with her yesterday, and she said, boy, this is the devil's playground out here. Ah, but the fear of the Lord, she has that. She's being encamped about. God is protecting her. God is providing for her. But only because she what? She fears God. See, Romans chapter 8 says that the Holy Spirit knows how to pray when we don't know how to pray. And sometimes there are situations that people have that we don't know how to pray. And that's why you've got to pray in a manner that's like, Lord, you're going to have to do something. Lord, it's up to you. We all have ailments. We all have fears. We all have troubles. But yet, can we seek God? Do we fear God? He says in verse 8, he says, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. I'm telling you what, when the Lord answered my pleas, you know what I was doing? I was tasting and seeing that God was good. He answered a high-level prayer that was almost impossible, and He was the only one that could answer it. Do you have something where you've tasted and seen that God is good? Is He not good all the time? I hope that He's good all the time to you. He's good all the time to me. He hasn't left me behind. He hasn't left me stranded. He hasn't neglected me. And He won't neglect you. But can you taste and see that the Lord is good? I mean, there's so much that you could say about that phrase. You know, His word is what? Like honey. And I ate and I was illumined. His word is likened to manna. And you can eat all that you want every day. You can't save it. Right? There's no leftovers. You've got to start over again fresh every day. But can you taste and see that the Lord is good? Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. You know why we came? I trusted in God. It's pretty hard for a pastor to ask other pastors, hey, how do you know when your ministry is done somewhere? They're like, I don't know. There's no books on it. They don't teach you that anywhere. My mentor said, well, you're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to trust God. So I talked to him a little bit about the situation before we came, and I didn't talk to him after that. I didn't talk to any of my counselors after that. I had to trust in God. He delivered us by faith. We're walking by faith, not by sight. I mean, it's not every day you just travel cross country. It's not every day you just pack up and leave everything that you know. I mean, this is different here. This is wide open. Brother Perry gave me directions to go to Aztec yesterday. And so we went the way that Perry suggested. We went through Ignacio and went south there. And I've just got to tell you, that was probably the most scenic route I've ever been on. I'm going to have to do it again and someone else can drive so I can look. You know what that is? That's trusting in God. Now, we didn't move out here for the weather. The weather's going to be better in the wintertime, we hope. It's probably going to be hotter in the summertime. We hope not, but we're not ignorant. We recognize that. But we didn't move out here for the scenic picture. That's all just like icing on the cake. We moved out here because the church needs a new pastor. The other pastor is resigning, and God is going to do something different in his life, and you all needed a pastor. So I have to trust in God. I have to trust and walk with God.
You know what you have to do every day? You have to do the same thing that I do. I'm not any different than you are. Situation's the same. You say, no, it's not, Pastor. I've got to go to work and I've got to deal with these people. Yeah, I know. And I have a different reputation and everybody's going to recognize, that's the pastor. And boy, he was speeding. You recognize that pastor speeds. I got a lot of friends that put like scripture verses on their bumpers of their cars. You notice I don't have any on my cars because maybe I have a lead foot. And maybe I think it's a bad testimony to be flying by and it says Jesus saves on the bumper sticker. So, but I have to trust in God just like you have to trust in God. He says, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. See, the problem we have is that we don't fear God. I mean, he made the mountains. He makes the snow. He creates the weather. He does all those things. And yet we still don't fear God. He's the one that gives life. He's the one that takes life. He's the one that lets you have health. He's the one that doesn't let you have health. He's the one that lets you have wealth. He's the one that takes it away. And yet we still don't fear God. You're going to say, Pastor, how do you know we don't fear God? Because I know how we live. We're still sinful. Our world is getting worse and worse, and we don't fear God. See, fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom. If David really feared God, he wouldn't have faked that he was a madman trying to get the enemy to protect him. And yet I think we do that time and time again. We fake who we are because we don't fear God. Notice he says, for there is no want of them that fear him. I don't have any wants. He's met all my needs. He's abundantly done above all that I could ask or even that I expected. But he can do the same for you. You're just going to have to trust him. You're going to have to seek him. You're going to have to put your confidence in him. And then you're going to have to testify of what? Of God's goodness, of God's faithfulness by your own experience. I mean, I'm thankful for the use of the container trailer. And you talk to the brother, he'll tell you, boy, in December he didn't have any. You're talking all the way up to late January, he didn't have any. He got one now. You know what he kept telling me? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Pastor. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Okay. I didn't worry about it. And he told me, hey, I'm dropping one off at the church. I said, praise the Lord. You know what? That's him testifying. That was him having confidence. Not in his ability, I don't think. I think he was trusting in God. He said he couldn't get any. You're going to have to do that in your life. See, as a church body, we're going to have to get together and fear God. As a church body, we're going to have to get together and trust God. As a church body, we're going to have to get together and start working for God, having the unity and going in the right direction. And then there, guess what? There's no want. Certainly not any fear. I mean, what's the biggest fear you have as a church? If you're the pastor, I usually, it's always the weather. Pastors dislike the weather. If it's rainy, people don't come to church. If it's snowy, people don't come to church. If it's windy, people don't come to church. And as I shared with my pastor, I said, Pastor, if it's sunny, they don't come to church. Why are we worried about the weather? Let's just have church. I mean, what's the biggest fear that church can have? That no one comes? God isn't going to allow no one to come. If we follow what God wants us to do as a body, he's going to build it. He gives the increase. But we as the body, we as the believers, we're going to have to fear God. Notice he says in verse 11, he says, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Churches across the country don't fear the Lord. They don't. Some churches still haven't even opened yet. Well, how could you not be opened? How can you close church? We're going to have to fear God. We know that he answers our prayers.
We know that we get all those things, and when we start to fear God, boy, the blessings come. And you like blessings, and I like blessings that come from God, but you know what we need? We don't need the blessings. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We don't need the blessings. We like the blessings. Don't get me wrong. I like it when God blesses. But that's not what we need. And that's not what a church needs. Because He's always going to bless. He blesses His word. He blesses our efforts. Right? So we know the blessing's going to come. That's not what we need. David had all kinds of blessings. The priest gave him the weapons and the food. He had the blessings. What we need is we need the favor. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. But they had fear of the Lord. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did us eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Here it comes, praising God and having favor with all the people. Later in David's life, David goes to work for the king there, one of the lords of the Philistines. David finally has favor. He already had the blessings, but he had the right attitude and the right fear of the Lord that he started to get the favor that comes from God. And the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. I'm just going to tell you, you know what we need? We need favor. We need the favor that comes from God. And when we get the favor that comes from God, the community recognizes that, and then God can really start to pour out, and boy, then we get to reap the increase. Only because we have the favor. The early church had the favor of the people, had the right testimony, had the right love for them, had the right care, had the right attitude, had the right position. That's what's missing today in churches from coast to coast. All because we don't fear God. All because we don't praise Him continually. All because we don't seek Him. All because we don't keep track of every time that He's answered a prayer, and we forget, I don't need to pray for that. That's such a small thing. And we've prayed for when the dog was sick. We prayed when the pit bull attacked the dog. We prayed for a girl's bunny rabbits to be healthy and be born. We prayed that she'd be able to sell the bunny rabbits. We pray all the time for all things. No matter how small and how insignificant you might think they are, someone else is really invested in those and really cares if God is going to answer. And God answers. But only when we get in the right attitude and have a right fear and have a right desire to seek after God. And then we're going to push those prayers past the ceiling. How many times have you been praying and you know that maybe you don't know. I've prayed before, and I've felt those prayers come right out of my mouth and sink like a lead balloon. He's not going to answer that one. Well, that was on me, not on Him. Man, we want those prayers to get to heaven so that we can start to taste and see that God is good. See, we serve a good God. You all want to see this church full. Maybe God doesn't want to see the church full. Maybe the Lord would rather see some people added and more of us serving and doing. Now, your pastor has a vision for the church. We have a lot of things that we need to pray about as the Lord leads. As we what? Try to what? Increase the church. Do what we're supposed to do. But God's going to be the one that's going to get him in there. We could start trying to be
implying all these rules and regulations. You've got to do this, you've got to do this, you've got to do this. But there's no fruit in those things. It's better to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you all and direct you. See, I think a man ought to have short hair. I have short, maybe because I don't have any hair. Maybe that's why I think a man ought to have short hair. But I'm not going to enforce that somebody's got to have short hair. I want the Holy Spirit to lead that. See, I want the Holy Spirit working in your lives. I want you praying. I want you boldly going to the throne. I want you tasting and seeing that God is good. Because then I want to hear from you how God answered that prayer. I want to hear from you how God met that need. Because that increases my faith. See, I've got lots of faith. I'm not a risk taker. I'm trusting God. I'll move cross country. If he called me to go to wherever, I would go. If that's where he called me, I'm here. Right? I was where I was at before. I was willing to go to the Philippines. I've got faith. Problem with our prayers is we feign ourselves to be a believer who we're not yet attained to be. Secondly, we don't believe that God is going to answer our prayers. Any prayer that's offered in unbelief, I'm just telling you, is a lead balloon. And I'm trying not to offer any prayers in unbelief because I want God to answer all the prayers. So the challenge for me is to get to know all of you. That way I can help you and encourage you so that I can teach you to fear the Lord. I know many of you fear the Lord. I don't doubt for a minute that you're saved. I don't doubt for a minute that you're not a disciple, that you don't walk with God. But boy, we're losing daylight. Jesus says there in the book of John that the night is coming when no man can work. And as a young believer, I couldn't figure out what that was. I went and asked my pastor. I'm like, I'm confused, Pastor. How can it be night and no one can work? Pastor, we have these halogen lights. We work at night all the time. We plug these lights in and we can see. And he said, no, the night's coming when there'll be no light. Not that you can't make light. There'll be no light left in the body, in the church, because he's going to take it out. And I'm just telling you, boy, we're getting closer and closer. And so we're going to have to start fearing God. And once we start to fear God, you'll get a chance to taste and see that God is good. And I know he's answered so many of your prayers, but yet, you know what? He can answer so many more prayers. And then we can have favor. If we can praise God, we can have favor with, notice it says, not just some of the people, it says all the people. So until we as a body get to a place where we can all praise God and have favor with the people, we have our work cut out for us. So prayer is very important. I mean, there's people that should have been here even today that aren't here. There's people that should have been here that have been gone for a long time that still should be here. We're going to have to start praying for them by name. We're going to have to make sure that we start visiting them and start ministering to them so that they can see what God is going to do. Can you continually praise God? I think that you can. The fact that my family here is a testament to answered prayer from you all. And you're excited, and I'm excited. And so let's start fearing God like we're supposed to, and let's start getting on fire for God like we're supposed to. And boy, let's start praising God, and we can have the favor, and God is the one that's going to add to the church. I can't do it. You can't do it. God is the one that's going to have to do it. If you'd stand with me, we'll pray.